You're listening to Alcoholics Alive, where recovered members of Alcoholics Anonymous share their experience on how they live AA as a way of life. None of our participants get paid or speak for AA. Here are your hosts, Shank and Wayne. Shank, I picked up some new shrapnel this past week. I heard a speaker refer to God as grumpy old dudes.
Yeah, that was a good one.
It was dumber than hell, but it was actually. So we need to add that to our shrapnel list. I had never heard that before.
Me neither, but mostly because I don't want any old dude to be God to me. So I don't know. Grumpy or not.
Especially not grumpy. Mm. But I'm with you on that. I am with you on that. Hey, we're welcome to Alcoholics Alive. We appreciate you listening. We've got a great guest on today. I think she's in Florida. I should have probably asked for that before we... I mean, I know she's in Florida, but I don't know exactly where. But anyway, Dee, how are you?
I'm doing well. I am in Florida, Sebastian, Florida.
Very nice. Very nice. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I can do that. My name is Dee. I'm a recovered alcoholic. I have a home group. That home group is in Sebastian, Florida. We meet once a week in the literature at 6:30 p.m. Eastern. You can come visit us online. Look at that. We'll pretend you're here in person. And I have a sponsor in all three legacies that knows she's my sponsor as I attempt to live in the maintenance of 10, 11, and 12. And it surprises me that I'm sponsorable today because she helps me see God when I'm playing God. And I don't always know what that looks like when I won't let God on the stage. So it's pretty cool. That's a little bit about me. You want to know more? Sobriety date. It's not really as important as the rest I just gave you, but my sobriety date, I'm not a one-chip wonder. I apparently am not as smart as I thought I was. I learned slowly. But March 18th, 2013 is my sobriety date. And if I continue to do the things that I mentioned, as I wake up every day, trusting, cleaning house, trusting God and helping others, hopefully I'll continue to remain sober.
Cool. How'd you get to Alcoholics Anonymous?
Well, that's a whole nother long story. You might have to do the thing like cut me off when you're ready. It was Groundhog's Day. A lot of people say things like you can maybe add just more shrapnel of yours, that if you don't remember your last drunk, you'll get drunk. Well, I don't remember my last drunk. I don't know. Isn't that what blackouts are all about? I got some 9-step amends out there. I'm not sure of until they make it clear and bring it up to me and we'll talk about it and debate if I did it or didn't do it.
I understand. Yes.
Yeah. So it was one long Groundhog's Day. My husband actually my late husband committed suicide. My twins were just under 2 years old at the time. And they came after a 15-year-old vasectomy. I thought I was done raising kids. So prior to coming to Alcoholics Anonymous, growing up in an alcoholic dysfunctional family, I was probably running the show since I was 6 years old, you know, and I was, I opened doors, seances, outside issues that aren't mine, but they were mom's kind of thing, you know, was like part of my ABCs and 1, 2, 3s growing up. And so that was normal. That wasn't, it wasn't my experience, but it was my mom's experience. And so I grew up in that kind of atmosphere playing God. And it was really hard for me to see God or know God or even defy or deny God because it was really hard. So when I got to Alcoholics Anonymous, let's just say my first experience hearing about DTs or blackouts or the violence of alcoholism came from watching my mom get beat up by a violent alcoholic. And so I qualified for another fellowship long before I got to Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, and I really thought, looking back now, I know that my higher power was trying to help prevent, put the steps in my life, you know, and so I was too young to see that. I was not going to go to any other fellowships to help my mom stay with the violence of alcoholism. And so I ended up becoming an alcoholic and I got the steps that way. I walked in after my husband's suicide, my twins, I just wanted to be a mom that was present and sober. I didn't know what this all looked like. But I put the drink down and then I didn't do anything that was in the book and I got drunk again. I got a resentment against the meetings, the individuals in the meetings. I worked your inventory, not my own, and I got drunk. It says half measures will give you nil. Well, maybe I got a little more than nil. I got drunk. I don't know if that's nil, but I got more
Less than
carnage and
now.
baggage and shrapnel. So that's kind of what happened. And my first 6 years in Alcoholics Anonymous were not talking about the literature in the way that I understand it, and I work it, and I know it today. It was a lot of feelings and opinions in the meetings, and I think we're going to talk about that later. It wasn't about what's actually in the book and what the program and the recipe was meant to be. So, does that help? Is that enough? I could
That's
always give you more.
no, that's perfect. Yeah,
Perfect. Okay, cool.
thank you very much. We're glad you're here with us. Shank, what's our topic today?
Our topic today is the Grapevine book called No Matter What, Dealing with Adversity and Sobriety. And this is what it says. All recovering alcoholics have had to deal with adversity throughout sobriety, a serious illness, an ugly divorce, the death of a child, the loss of a house to fire or to the bank. Despite the fear, pain, or self-pity we are in when these tragedies strike, drinking is not an option. The stories in this book show how AA members use the tools of the program and embrace the fellowship to deal with tough issues. So, my first question for you all is, how have the steps and traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous helped you navigate a time of adversity in your sobriety? What you got, D?
Well, I've definitely had some adversity before I came in the rooms, and then, of course, while I was in the rooms. And I know that once having taken the steps, taken steps 1 through 9 and living in 10, 11, and 12, I've been able to not drink no matter what, right? Not have to drink at you, over you, because there was a time before I had taken the steps that I could relate and understand with one of the comments I would hear in our local club here in Sebastian from this guy, David, no longer alive. He used to say, "I'm gonna drink this poison and hope you die," you know, and I would drink the poison and hope you die, and I was only killing me. And that's when I got to see that I was doing exactly what it says in Bill's story. I believe page 4, where he talks about men jumping from the towers of high finance. That disgusted me. I wouldn't jump, but I went back to the bar. Hello, if to drink is to die, as I'm also told in the book, then I was doing no different than what my husband did, committing suicide drinking. And so for me, when I came in, I had a very big resentment, not about suicide or my husband's death, but about my daughter getting molested. And that's a whole nother story, but that's a big one. And I bring it up because that's some adversity that I can deal with before I even got here. You tell me these steps are going to help me. I didn't believe that. And until I was willing to take a look at this and do the work, I was content prior to investigation. And now that I have done the work, I can tell you right now that I have overcome that, that I've been able to forgive a man that I swore I didn't want to. And God has done for me what I couldn't do for myself. And it tells me that in these pages. And it's been my experience that that's true. I don't even want to be that spiritual. And yet it works. Seriously, I don't want to forgive him. I'd rather do something else. And Lorena Bobbitt didn't have nothing on me. So we'll just leave it at that.
Yeah. How about you, Jerry?
Well, part of the problem with the description of that book that you read is the second word, all recovering alcoholics.
Ooh, good one.
So if you're recovering, you probably haven't taken the first 9 steps. I mean, I think the book says that after we take the first 9 steps to the best of our ability, that we have recovered. In fact, recovered. And so anyway, just a
Oh, I like that.
little info there. And for me, the I mean, I was always taught that Alcoholics Anonymous is a way of life, right? So it's not just going to meetings and doing fellowship type things, that Alcoholics Anonymous is a way of life, and that we're supposed to practice the steps and the traditions in all areas of our lives. Now, I think that was probably understanding that for me was a process, because I mean, I had a very distinct experience with this at about 5 years sober. I had been, for about 2 years, I had been actually longer than that. Let me get honest. I had been stealing money from work sober, and was in a really just kind of wrecked relationship with my first wife, and continue to try to hang on to both of those without being honest about it. And when I finally got honest with my sponsor about what was going on in both situations and was given instruction on how to, spiritually correct both of those, which meant going back to an employer and turning myself in and making an amends, and meant, going through a divorce sober. I realized when I got through that that, what helped me get through that was the steps and the traditions and the God that I found through taking those steps and by trying to be of service to other people. So I say that to say, I mean, when I kind of got to the other end of that, I realized that the program is a way of life, that I'm actually supposed to try to practice principles in all my affairs, not just some of them. And when I did that, you know what? I got through it. Some stuff didn't feel good. Some of the actions I had to take, I mean, I didn't want to do it, but I got through it. And the program worked. Matter of fact, if you believe what the book says, it says that the best solution for not drinking is intensive work with other alcoholics. Not picking your stuff up and taking it to a meeting. That's kind of where I'm at with that, Shank.
Something I find interesting about discussing, quote, adversity and sobriety is kind of the easy answer, maybe, would be like, oh my gosh, I had to go to prison and I stayed sober through it. And like drinking was very much an option. That's what I kind of take. I don't know. It says in here drinking is not an option. I always have the option to drink. I had the option to drink when I was incarcerated, but I don't believe that I should get some kind of gold star in AA because I have worked the steps and learned how to deal with adversity and sobriety. You know, before I was sentenced, when I was sentenced, I had a meeting, I didn't want to do this, but my sponsor said it wasn't about me, with the people that I had harmed, and they were still harmed in that time. And they had forgiveness for me. You know, in that moment, they told me, like, hey, here's everything that we've been through in the last 3 months that was directly caused by you. Here's what we're going to have to continue going through, but we are so glad that you have found God. You know, if that's through AA, great. You know, they were just good Christian people, to my knowledge. And so when I think of like adversity, that's what I think about. Not, you know, those people were able to have forgiveness. They don't, to my knowledge, had no experience in AA, didn't work a program, didn't do any of that. So dealing with adversity and sobriety is just, I'm just living my life. Drinking, sure, is an option. Have I ever wanted to drink since I asked for that obsession to be removed? No, my mind does not go there. It's not appealing to me. I have other tools. So I would just say the steps and traditions have helped me navigate every time, good, bad, or otherwise, in my sobriety. Like, I don't, there have been a lot of crazy things that have happened.
Absolutely. I mean, and I'll just say, I'll add to that with, you know, that experience coming in, that it tells me that when you, because you mentioned about not an option to drink, you know, I guess it just depends on where we're talking about that from, the individual understanding, right? The twofold illness coupled with the spiritual malady, if you will, right? Understanding that once I put the drink in me, that all bets are off, you know, that I'm going to continue to drink again. Like, and for me, it tells me, as you also mentioned, that strenuous work, one alcoholic with another, was vital to permanent recovery. I mean, but I don't know that until I do this work, right? And it also tells me on page 100 that when we look back, we realize that the things which came to us when we put ourselves in God's hands were better than anything we could have planned, right? And so that's like one of my favorite things, because being a mom, if you want to talk about adversity, like being a mom, single mom. And listen, I chose to be single since 2010, since his death. I have chosen to be single. That does not mean I'm on the market, but I'm just saying that I didn't choose to be a widow, right? I didn't choose to join that club, but I did not want to raise my children without their father. I mean, I could cry right now thinking about that. But my brokenness and my little abandon and rejection issues and all my little brokenness, I was projecting on them before they could even have their own experience. And wow, this program helped me see that. Well, this program helped me realize that I could be mom and dad. I could be everything they needed me to be. And that's the adversity that I've dealt with in Alcoholics Anonymous, along with walking my own mom with Alzheimer's through the end of her life at the end of it. And I'm going to tell you, that's only because of Alcoholics Anonymous. And that's some big adversity when your mom's been diagnosed with Alzheimer's and she's still going through active addiction, wanting to pretend she's got a heart attack just so she can get to the hospital to have her drugs. Let me tell you something. And she don't want to go out gardening with your kids and you're trying to do the deal. That's life on life's terms. Life don't change. I change. People, places, and things don't change. I change. Thanks for letting me add that.
Shank, what's the next question?
What advice would you give someone in the fellowship who is currently facing hardship?
D.
I'll go with the steps. I mean, because the steps, but you don't know what you don't know until you do it, right? So getting a home group for accountability, getting a sponsor, and how do you get a sponsor, right? I mean, because it's easy to say the steps work, but then what if you're having a hard time finding someone that's taken these steps that, you can't transmit what you don't have, right? So my question would be to them, right? Step 12, it tells me there's three parts to step 12. Having had a spiritual experience as a result of these steps, right? Have you had a spiritual experience as a result of these steps, right? And we try to carry this message, not my, feelings and opinions, but this message, this recipe that's found in the book. The program is different than the fellowship, and then to carry it to other alcoholics, not non-alcoholics, alcoholics, one alcoholic to another, kitchen table style, like Bill and Bob. Can I have that experience? And it's been my experience with doing that and with doing that with others that it doesn't matter what we're going through. This stuff really works. That's all I got on that.
Yeah, it's really helped me to. This is probably shrapnel, Shank, being all in, I guess. Meaning, that having a sponsor, having a home group, and like a service position, and trying to help other people. I mean, for me, that's been the solution literally to all my problems. I think that. It even says in the book, it's in Fred. I think it was Fred. He's the one that got drunk on a highball. Wasn't a cloud in sight or something, or or whatever. I think he said that quite as important was the discovery that spiritual principles would solve all my problems. It doesn't look like spiritual principles would help you, right? Like, when I got, first sober and my wife was gone. She's sleeping with my cousin, and I don't have a car, I don't have a job, I don't have anywhere to live. It would seem that you would want to go fix all that, go change all that. And I was told, no, maybe go to some meetings, maybe make those amends that we've been talking to you about, and find somebody to help. Well, that doesn't look like a solution. But I can tell you now, down the road, that actually was the solution. Now, of course, I had to do other things, but taking care of those spiritual acts first was ultimately the solution to me. And I mean, I think that that's ultimately the message with our book and with our steps is that we got to continue to help other people. That breaks that selfishness and self-centeredness. And I mean, that's ultimately the solution to our problem, and trusting in God.
Well, I think what that brings up that I want to ask y'all is how difficult, how hard is it to stay sober?
Well,
Now,
I
what are we
got.
supposed to answer that? Like, come on now. Like, it's so hard. I don't wake up with untreated alcoholism, let me tell you right now, but I definitely don't wake up, spiritually fit all day, every day, either, right? So, what we really have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance. That seems to be the word people forget about, right? When they parrot that, of our spiritual condition, the maintenance of our spiritual condition. And that looks like living in 10, 11, and 12. It looks like cleaning house, trusting God, and helping others. And for me, because I stay in the middle of this, how do I stay further? So, my sobriety date's coming up, right? March 8th. I just happened to notice because now we're on March 3rd, and you guys, I had to say it. But how do I stay further away from that sobriety date, March 18th, 2013, as I grow, as I continue to move forward, and life happens, right? Life is just lifey. Things happen, right? Life on life's terms or life on God's terms. And so how do I do that? By working with others, by working, self-sacrificing and helping others, right? My 12th step is somebody else's first step. My sponsor don't take me back through this work. I take others through this work, right? I always have new ones in the nest, so to speak. And then when they're there, they get to go out and help others too. That's just how this works. I don't sponsor sponsees, I sponsor sponsors. I don't sponsor takers, and I don't hang on to the feet draggers. And that's what it's all about. Otherwise, we are stuck in self. Page 62 tells me in the middle of that page, because you mentioned it also, one of you mentioned self. I must be rid of self. It says above everything, we must be rid of self. This selfishness is going to kill us. And then we can only do that with God's help. That's what it tells us. I'm done. Bye.
Yeah, it's hard to get rid of self if all we're thinking about is ourself. I mean, so Shank, to answer your question, I think I told you I gave a talk a couple of weeks ago at a group, and I made the comment that staying sober is actually easy. And I know that can be taken a lot of different ways, but they you could tell they it was not a popular comment at this particular group. And so to answer your question, I think for me that the actual staying away from like the first drink once I got to the program and took those first, it's just not been an issue. I think it says in step 10 that we kind of get placed in a position of neutrality. So I guess that's probably what's happened to me because I don't think about drinking. And when something in life happens, I deal with it, right? I pray, I talk to somebody, I call a sponsor, I'll call somebody with experience, and I find a solution and move on. That's what the program's taught me to do. I've never been one that, I bump my toe and oh my God, I'm in fear of drinking. Or that's just not been my experience. And I mean I've not had to white knuckle through life staying away from the first drink. I believe what the book says that if you're having problems with that, you still have an alcoholic mind. You've missed something in those steps. People don't like to hear that, but that's just a fact.
Well, what I
So.
find interesting is, I remember thinking that staying sober through Alcoholics Anonymous. Now, I was required by the state of North Carolina to do several other treatments, and that was all great. Thanks for the information. I mean, I say a lot. All I learned was that I should have been doing cocaine to stay up longer to drink more. But
You did miss something with that, by the way.
I
Just for the record.
know. I did not realize that that's why people around me, some of them, were
We
doing
could have
it.
hung. We could have hung. They said some people would normally not mix. I'm just saying.
Yes.
Yes.
But what's interesting is for a few years, while I was incarcerated and a few years after, I really felt like I was missing something because it was not difficult for me to stay sober. Now, I was doing all of the things I should have been doing. I'd worked the steps. When I got out of prison, I worked them face to face and cleaned up anything I had maybe missed. I was trying to help women. I was sponsoring women. But I really felt like, oh, well, I'm not digging deep enough, and I need to do more, and I need to read the service manual. And I was looking for reasons for sobriety through Alcoholics Anonymous to be difficult, I think. And that's only on reflection that I can see that. Nothing I was doing was wrong, but I was on every service committee you could imagine. And that did challenge me, but it didn't make me want to drink. And it was not until someone pointed out to me, like, hey, you're just trying to make this like, master's level AA, or like, it is not that serious. Like, yeah, continue to learn and grow and read the literature and have, your experience and help others, but you haven't missed anything. Like, you're doing exactly what you need to be doing. Like, I just kind of had this idea somewhere that unless I was, facing so much adversity or judging all of my family, or saying, don't y'all know I'm sober, don't have alcohol around me, or like,
That's
unless I was,
funny.
I just kind of felt like, I don't know, what am I not doing right? So I do think that's interesting. I wasn't doing anything wrong.
So you mean on page 99, where it says first paragraph, about three lines down, where it says, however, the alcoholic continues to demonstrate that he can be sober, considerate, and helpful regardless of what anyone says or does. Of course, we all fall much below this standard many times, but we must try to repair the damage immediately, lest we pay the penalty by a spree. Again, working with others, there's like a whole chapter of, how to live life on life's terms. People, places, and things don't change, but I do. If I'm expecting they're going to change, then I probably might have missed some work, because they don't. They're still jerks.
Boy, many of them are.
All right. So my next question for y'all is, could you describe a time in your sobriety when you needed to take a step away from Alcoholics Anonymous to deal with a tough issue?
Man, I got one that's not even funny. You ready? This is not, I mean, that's why I brought up mom just for a little bit. Let me tell you something. And I'm stretching to share with you in a small amount of time some of these hot topic things because of the topic adversity. When you talk about your husband committed suicide, talk about your mom getting Alzheimer's, I can't make this stuff up that's happened in my life. Let me just tell you. Or what about, like I said, forgiving a child molester and my mom happened to be married to that child molester. Now you tell me, coming into Alcoholics Anonymous, and she stayed with the guy. And I got to walk her through the end of her life. I mean, I'm going through some stuff like taking her through a divorce. I mean, the guy tried to put her in a hospice facility. It was given 2 days to live, and she comes out to live another 2.5 years with me. If God ain't crazy big and funny in my life, let me just tell you something. That's stuff that you can't even wrap your head around right now. How do you deal with that kind of adversity in and out of Alcoholics Anonymous? Well, I became a GSR. And I'm dragging my twins with me that I homeschool long before it was cool, long before our pandemic. I've been doing it since birth. So I got mom with Alzheimer's, the twins and I going through area assemblies district doing the GSR deal. Like I get busy. I get busy because I wasn't sure, like you mentioned earlier, what I might have been missing. And I wasn't missing nothing because I couldn't believe that I was walking through this stuff. When I look back, I realize, holy crap, it works. This stuff works. If I'll just do it, it works. And a lot of the stuff I was hearing in the meetings, and I know we're going to talk about that later, but I was hearing in the meetings didn't match what was in the book and what I was doing or what I wanted to be doing or thought I should. Like I was so confused and I thought I needed to step away. And there was a time that I did need to step away. I stepped away from service because the people in the service that I was around, you can't protect the message or perpetuate the message with the traditions in the second legacy or the concepts in the third legacy if you don't know what the message is. And so that's the adversity that I experienced today inside Alcoholics Anonymous, is having a hard time as an Alcoholics Anonymous member that's been through the steps, that understands, not to the full ability, but some of my best ability, second, third legacy as well. And I'm not hearing Alcoholics Anonymous inside Alcoholics Anonymous because we've been worrying about pleasing everybody, being all things to all people, that I don't hear Alcoholics Anonymous in Alcoholics Anonymous. Now there's some adversity for you. I'll be quiet now.
That's an interesting perspective. I have felt that way personally too, but well, it's part of why we started the podcast, actually, was to help kind just speak the truth from the book and from the literature and dispel all these myths and misconceptions that you hear in meetings. But Shank, I think I typically, when something happens, I typically double down on spiritual stuff. I'm not a guy that has something happens and I think I've got to take a break, or I've got to, this is more important than spiritual work, or more important than the programs, and step away from that. I typically double down on helping people and calling people, or going to my group, praying, reading, sitting quiet, stuff that the program's taught me to do. But this is a, I think this is what the question's asking. I guess it could be three or four different ways to answer it or to think about it, but it's very common now when I go to meetings and hear people talk, or just talk to people, a life situation will happen and they're going, oh, I got to take a step away from my program to deal with this. And I'm like, well, I don't, maybe it's semantics, but it just doesn't make sense to me. I scratch my head and I'm like, what do you mean? So something's happened to you in life, so now you're gonna like actually quit the program to go deal with your daughter who didn't make the soccer team? I'm making that up. Whatever. So, yeah, I mean, again, to me, it goes back to AA is a way of life, and there's spiritual principles that are in play here that I hopefully will never stop practicing.
Well, have you ever heard that? Like when they say AA took you, what is it, the thing? Like, what is it about? Like, AA took you away
AA
from me,
gave
but
me a
then,
life that took me away from AA.
yeah, like that kind of thing. Like, I don't know how that works either, right? You're either all in or you're not. I don't know there.
So I guess it goes
I
one
mean,
of
it's
two
just like,
ways. Either people's life gets really good and they take a step away, or it can get really bad and they take a step away. And maybe finding the balance somewhere there in the middle. I
I
can't even
think
talk about a whole podcast on that word.
Well, and I wanted to ask this question because what I was taught in Alcoholics Anonymous, now, my first, over year in sobriety, I could only go to the meeting that was provided at the facility where I was housed. I had a book. I was sponsoring women. I was reading the book. I was making amends. Members of Alcoholics Anonymous were writing me. They were coming to visit me. They were helping me make amends, in a visitation with a family member while I was handcuffed. Like it was just people really showed me how to work this program no matter what. But
It works.
it was also stated to me, like you make commitments and you keep them. So I'm at my home group, at 5 o'clock twice a week. That is just what I do. I plan around it. Now, certainly sometimes things come up. I don't need to tell my family to screw off because they're in town and it's a Tuesday. Like I can go to dinner with them. But I make them and I keep them, and it's a part of my working life. It is just that is my life as I live it. So I just can't imagine. I don't know. Maybe there will be a time where I think I need to take a step away, but it just has not been my experience, whether things are going good or bad. I like to share those things with the people around me, which are typically the people in my home group.
Well, and I hope we don't step away because it tells us that we meet frequently so the newcomer can find
That's
the
right.
fellowship they
Fellowship they
seek.
crave.
And then therefore, what would we do, right? To be the takers that like, well, we got ours, we're good, thank you, but no thanks. Like it just doesn't work like that. It is a design for living that really works in rough growing, as it tells us, right? Yeah, I'm with
Well,
you.
and it's not to say that I show up and I'm delightful all the time. Sometimes my personality gets in the way of
Yeah,
things.
sometimes I
Like,
can't put God between him and his
yeah.
other kids, between me and
Sure.
his other kids. And I want to give them their lessons, but I'm reminded that I shouldn't. Yeah.
I think that's what people hear sometimes though, when they hear like people coming from a positive perspective or an enthusiastic perspective, is that, man, life is always good and I'm always feeling good. And that's just not the case. I mean, at
You
all.
skipping through the tulips all day, every day?
Yeah.
No.
And
This too shall
I
pass.
that's right. And I think I probably had it in my mind when I first got sober that, man, I quit drinking, that I'm not going to have any problems. And it was quite the opposite, that I mean, living a sober life, you're introduced to problems, way more problems than you were when you were drinking. And we're not exempt from that, but we've been given a solution for all that. And we shouldn't be given any.
Absolutely.
Now, I'm a guy who does something real simple, like, clean the garage. And I think I should be given some kind of special,
Gold
point,
star.
gold star for
It's
that. We're just living
a character
life.
trait. A trinket or a toy,
Yeah,
maybe.
give me a toy or a trinket or a pat on the
That's like
back.
you, yeah. That's like you've been sober for like 9 minutes and you want your family don't understand why they don't believe you, right?
That's right.
So, D, I do have one question for you before we go to meeting shrapnel. So, when you got sober and you're a widow and you've got kids, you're a single mom raising kids, shouldn't you have been treated different in AA and like given
Oh, I
some
was
kind
treated
of.
quite the opposite. I was run out of meeting. Who you kidding? And that's a true story. I got a resentment over that individual. I wasn't joking. And because of the steps, I mean, and I did. I went out and I drank. In my local community, I was a younger woman with kids. And if I wasn't interested in the guy that was interested in me, Well, you're not going to carry my books to class. You're not going to carry my, and you know what? And that's a true story. It happened. A local community, I could tell you the name, and I look forward. You know, they don't live in this community anymore, but because of the steps and because I was able through going through that process to look forward to holding that person's hand, you know, later on when I came back in and I applied this stuff and did what was necessary, I looked forward to holding at the Lord's Prayer that person's hand, the same person that told me not to come back, that I might have affected somebody else from getting the message that day with my kids, whether they were right or wrong. And they were wrong, of course. But the fact is, you know, I was run out of the meeting, and three of us, including my two little purebreds, you know, that needed to hear this message, so to speak, that I want to be here for generations to come, needed to hear that. My town was old, white, and old women, and they weren't used to having a woman with kids at their noon meeting. You want to talk about adversity and being different in the rooms, you know? And that was my experience, but I didn't have to use that as an excuse to not get the message. I got to see the difference between what happens when you just hang around the meeting and don't do the work versus do the work, and I can come back and look forward to holding that same individual's hand that ran me out of the meeting. Does that make sense?
It
Yeah.
does. Yeah.
Okay.
And you recovered
Sorry.
the same way that most of us recover, right?
Yeah, the first 6 years not hearing it at all, but then when I got busy, yeah. Your pain don't have to look like mine though. See, I told you I was a hard learner.
All right. Shank, you want to move on to meeting shrapnel?
Meeting shrapnel. We've
Right.
referenced a couple of these during our episode today. So if you were listening, you heard them. Our meeting shrapnel, which is a segment of lore, myth, and sayings frequently heard in AA. Meeting shrapnel number one is life on life's terms. What do you think about that one, D?
I think people, places, and things don't change. Life doesn't change. I do. And I think that's probably my problem with a lot of these individualized pamphlets and everything else, right? That tell me that I'm different. You know, we're going to change all them stories in the back of the big book. That's what we do, so we can relate to how we carry the message. The same thing with the pamphlet, different stories, and do you think you're different? So we can relate to how we carry the message. The message should never change, but the messengers do. Life on life's terms, baby. It's life on life's terms or life on God's terms, right? It don't change, I do. And if you don't change, well, guess what? You might get drunk too. I'm just saying. Scrap it.
Is
I'm just messing with you. What do you think,
No,
Jerry? I'm
we
joking with
liked
you.
it.
I'm joking with you.
What do you think, Jerry?
Well, life on life's terms. Is that in the literature anywhere?
It is on
I
page
know it's
99.
99.
It's
It's
not
not quite the same though, is it?
No, it's
What's
not
it?
in there. It doesn't use those words. And the
Okay.
closest thing that I've found is on page 99, first paragraph, three lines down. And we're just talking about, you know, but it, nowhere have I seen it in the literature. So if you're looking for
Yes.
that in the literature, you know
It,
what I mean?
well, this is, and some of y'all love hearing me say this. This is straight from NA literature. This is actually in, it's actually in the NA basic text. Life, gotta live life on life's terms. I mean,
You just taught me something new. I didn't know that.
what are life's terms? I mean, it says in the 10th step that every day is a day. Doesn't it? Huh? Every day is a day that we have to carry the vision of God's will in all of our activities. I think that's what it says.
Page 85, bottom of page
So
84.
I don't completely understand what it says. I mean, I know that it maybe it's trying to say that we're not exempt from life because we're sober and we got to learn to deal with it, but I mean, I'm not a guy that drank at stuff. I just drank when things were good. I drank when things were bad. I drank when I felt good. I felt when I didn't feel good. I mean, so I don't understand it.
You know, I think when we say that, when we're like, oh, I just don't understand that, people really do think we have a fifth grade education. And
Oh, damn. Well, hey, the plain language
well,
book is on its way, girl.
that's a whole
So
nother
that's
segment.
why they wrote the plain language book just for you,
Oh, don't
Shank.
get us
I
started.
know, for
Oh,
me specifically.
no.
Life on life's terms. Listen, I get it, okay? Like, life is just going to happen, but The times that I believe I would apply this is when I'm having a consequence from something that I've done, and it's easier just to say, oh, it's just, I have to deal with life on life's terms and get through this and trudge the road. And like, it is just not that difficult, specifically if it's a consequence for something that I have done, that I've chosen to do.
Right.
And things like that do come up. It's, you know, I typically choose to open my mouth and say something that, I shouldn't, you know, and like, I have to deal with that. So life on life's terms is just, it's just silly to me.
Yeah.
I mean, yep. God's will, right. Not my will. I don't know. Absolutely. I don't know what God's will is, but I'm pretty sure that it's what it's not at
times. Yeah. Hey, I've learned that anytime I'm saying it's God, it's me playing God. Anytime I'm saying it's God, it's me playing God. So try that paradox on for size. I don't know what to do with that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The other thing about this one is that, I mean, actually a lot of time, I mean, when stuff happens, sometimes things are very serious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they really do require a lot of thought, prayer, and experience from others and a real solution. And this is one of those terms where people just kind of throw it around in meetings. You could be having a serious issue and you got some clown at the clubhouse saying, just it's life on life's terms, Jerry. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks a lot.
Yeah.
I'm scrapping it.
Yeah, I'm scrapping it. All right. 3 for 3. It's out of here. Our second meeting shrapnel is, quote, in the rooms.
Unquote. Now, I don't really even get that, but I'm thinking that I think you know what I mean? Like, based on what I've heard, like, so I've heard the life on life's terms, but I have not really heard, like, in the rooms. You mean, like, you hear it in the rooms? Because I hear a lot of stuff parroted in the rooms that ain't in the book, like what I just said.
Okay. It's a term that people use in replace of saying Alcoholics Anonymous.
Are you in the rooms?
Like, when I came to the rooms, are you in the rooms? There's a book the Grapevine put out called In the Rooms.
Yes, there is.
Oh, see, that's why, because I don't do the Grapevine stuff. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm
don't
just
be
being
sorry.
Flat out honest. I mean, like, hey. I believe what I believe. I have a right to believe. I just think that that used to be our principal newspaper when Bill wanted to communicate with the fellowship, and that's what it was designed for. And once we adopted the conference July 5th, 1955, it wasn't retired. And now we're still trying to hang on to it, right? So that's all. I just don't support it.
You can just look at the number of subscriptions that are out there to prove your point.
Right.
We claim to have somewhere between 2 and 3 million members now, and there's 50,000 subscriptions to the Grapevine. So I think the fellowship has spoken on whether they want it or not.
Yeah.
I mean, 50,000.
Not going to be popular on this podcast, but that's okay.
So we agree. Get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But anyway, so you've never heard people use this term, like, I'm in the rooms, or when I came to the rooms?
Now that you're saying it, I don't know if I'm just wanting to, like, be apathetic like that Grapevine thing with you, or if, no, I think I just haven't really heard it. Okay. You like that, don't you? Yeah.
All right.
But I know what I hear in the rooms. It ain't the same as I hear in the book. That's what
you
I'm
just
thinking
said
when
it.
I'm hearing. You see,
what
I
people,
mean?
Like, right. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
People don't even realize
that's
they're
crazy.
Saying
So then let's look at the literature in two places where it says, because I've got it in my book, in the literature, where it doesn't say in the rooms, by the way. I want you to know the last paragraph of the foreword to the 4th edition before we put in a foreword to the 5th edition and the next time you look at it. But the foreword to the 4th edition, it says, our literature, last paragraph on right before the doctor's opinion, while our literature has preserved the integrity of the AA message, that integrity of the AA message is the I program, right, found in the book, right? Then it says, comma, sweeping changes in society as a whole are reflected in new customs and practices within the fellowships, not new traditions, new customs and practices within the fellowship, the We Fellowship. So there's a huge difference between the In the Rooms We Fellowship and the I program in the book, right? That's not sexy, that's found between you and your sponsor getting in this work, one alcoholic to another. The We Fellowship can't do the work for me in the rooms, right? I can't hide out in the rooms. I got to sit down and do the work in the book. That's just my experience with that in the rooms that you're talking about. That'll get me drunk, that in the room stuff.
It absolutely will.
Yeah.
And you just said in the rooms like 33 times in that.
Now I'm saying, count it. You got a counter? I'm just, so bad. I'll give you a run for your money when you're editing this stuff.
So Shank, I think I've said this before, probably more than once, but when GSO put out the safety card, right? Mm. The very first version of that referred to AA as in the rooms. The card actually said in the rooms.
Oh, look at you. You're just going to have to ruin things for me today. Okay.
I wrote to the literature chair, trustees literature chair, and to our delegate, and they actually and told them that this was a misnomer and that it needed to be changed, and they actually changed it.
Good for you.
Yeah, and it wasn't a conference approved piece. It's just what they call
service. Get some other stuff changed. Use your power for good.
Yes. Well,
come on.
So,
yeah.
Brother Wayne, let's get it going.
You know how good that's going.
Let's talk about some more stuff too. Let's talk about item J. No, I'm just
we could wrap that. Yes. Yeah. Well, we may get you back on to discuss some of that D since we know your feelings on some of that stuff. I think we share some reviews. So what do you want to do with in the rooms?
Done. Out.
All right, I'm scrapping it. Shank?
I'm scrapping it. It's out of here.
All right.
So our third meeting shrapnel is there is no escalator to recovery. You have to work the steps.
Wow!
You have to take the steps. You must take the steps.
I like the word must, because the must is in the big book quite a bit, as much as we like to say it isn't, right? Yeah. Oh, Lord. That escalator thing is not something I've heard as much about either, but the whole, like, elevator thing, when they talk about the elevator, what floor you want to get off on, like, that I've heard, but that's different in comparison to the bottom. But the escalator thing, yeah, like, however I've seen people think that they can talk about this stuff because... But yeah, nope, you got to take steps. There ain't no way around it. And they're in order for a reason, right? Like, so let's talk about the ninth step, promise, how everybody talks about it. And then it says, are these extravagant promises? If you ain't worked up until the ninth step, they might sound like they're pretty extravagant. These things are in order for a reason. There's another reason you can't take the escalator. Like, you just can't have experience with what you don't know, right? You live it forward, learn it backward.
That's right.
You can't. Anyway, I'm done.
So have you actually heard this one before? Or a version of it?
A version of it, yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Shank, have you heard it before?
Not really our thing.
Didn't we hear this somewhere together?
We did. So you used to hear this all the time.
Okay, I think I've only heard it like once or twice from one person.
In the late 80s and early 90s, this was heard in meetings all the time. I mean, I would hear it just about every, and there were different versions of it. And sometimes they would use the term elevator instead of escalator.
Right.
And then there were these paintings. I think this is where we saw it, Shank. They had these, you know, where they put like the slogans on the wall. Mm-hmm. Well, there used to be this one that actually had the stairwell and a guy standing at the bottom of it, and then it said under it, there is no escalator to the to recover, you have to take the steps. And it was hanging in all kinds of clubhouses, at least in North Carolina it was. But you don't hear it much anymore.
That's because we got elevators more instead of escalators. No,
more elevators than escalators. Yeah, it's another one of those cute little, you know, one-off comments that you can hear.
No
some
harm,
old,
no foul, but
you can hear some grumpy old dude, God, in a clubhouse saying, there is no escalator.
No, we were just talking about sexual predators earlier today.
You
no,
have to
don't
take the steps. Yeah. So
you want to keep it or scrap it?
Oh, no. Scrap it.
Scrap it.
D? Scrap?
Scrap it.
Yep. It's out of here. Yep. It's scrapped. All right. All three of those are scrapped. You heard it
all
here.
Right. Well, Dee, we really appreciate you coming on and sharing your experience with us.
You're welcome. Yep. I hope I didn't totally botch you. Sorry.
No.
You did a great job.
Great job.
Thank
we appreciate
you.
It.
It's just my experience. That's all. And I'm a little bit perturbed about item J. If you ever want to talk about how to tell us how to sponsor others with the look at the specific words, I've already circled it and sent it into my delegate, and she made it very clear. I even gave her the page numbers with the links to like barriers in AA, mental health in their sponsor. Like there's all these other pamphlets already. And by the
Yes.
way, I also even asked if that non-housed alcoholic pamphlet is going to be free. Are we going to have an F on the back of that one? Like who's going to buy it? Like there's all these things to think about when it comes to this literature, and we're broke people. Like money does matter. How are you going to afford to do all this? I got a question. When we do the plain language, by the way, now that we spent $140,000 on that thus far, let me ask you why it takes us. Oh, and by the way, you do know it's saying to the partners, not to the wives. And you do. I did ask one question this past weekend if we were going to change words like must, required, recovered,
We
requirements, you know, whatever,
were there
certain things.
too. We were
Yeah,
on there
we
with
did.
you.
And so the funny thing about all of that is that how come it's going to take us twice as long to get the fifth edition to come out? But
Well, I know you
this
know
brand
why.
new book, yeah, because it's a translation and it should have never been a translation. It's a new book. Yeah, it should have
Well,
taken twice
listen,
as
you're
long.
just
Well,
repeating everything.
here's what
No,
I don't think the
I just
fifth
got to hear
editions are.
myself.
I don't think the fifth edition's coming. I think
I know. I
they're
know.
going to get the
I
plain
know.
language out, and they're going to say, oh, there's no need for a fifth edition
It's
anymore. And
heartbreaking.
watch, wait and see.
I don't want to watch and wait
Well,
and see.
then they can just use the stories that were submitted and publish another new Grapevine book.
Oh, Lord, there she
See,
goes. No, get rid of that
the
thing too. You know what? What tradition is it? Let's talk about that before you guys go. Listen, because nobody else is educated enough. No, I'm just joking with you guys because she graduated and went up to the escalator. But let's talk about
Well, wait, hold on
what's
now.
long
Keep in mind,
form.
we've got fifth grade educations according to
I know, but don't tell no H. I
a
won't tell
past
anybody either.
chairperson.
We'll pretend because that's what Bill did. We'll use a lot of different words to describe the same thing so we can feel smarter and be the
What do you
number
got?
one man or woman, number one man or woman. All
All
right.
right.
So, long form of which tradition? Here is the question. Long form of which tradition says that it is our principal newspaper, the Grapevine? That tradition might need to be changed. I mean, if we get rid of the Grapevine, just saying. But
That
it's quite
does.
interesting in the long form of the, because when we talk about being our principal newspaper, it isn't our principal newspaper anymore. So when we talk about things that do need to be updated, maybe we all need to be on the same page and we need to understand the difference between what the fellowship is and what the program is, what the message is, what the messenger is, right? Because the messengers are going to die. They're going to come and go. Bill rotated out. Bob died and rotated out. Bill gave us the conference, and they change. The messengers change, but the message shouldn't change, right? No matter how you feel about our founders, the message should stay the same. And that's what's not going to happen with this new big book. We all know that. And our literature, the same thing. You mentioned that safety piece. You're fully aware of the safety, 7-page safety piece. You do see in the background of that questions and answers if you haven't seen it already, right? Because I
We're familiar.
don't. Okay. Well,
We're
you saw their
familiar.
little reference and dig, right? In parentheses about how the wording that they wanted to get in that safety piece, SMF 228, didn't happen. So they're now trying to slide it into the questions and answers on sponsorship. And it's not even on a discussion with my delegate
It's
this year. So, yeah.
that's the
Safety
long
piece.
form of Tradition 9 that mentions the Grapevine.
There you go.
So that's one of the new tactics, D, is that they start sliding stuff in. It's kind of like freaking our government. They kind of start
Bait and
sliding
switch.
stuff in.
Yep. Yep. Bait and
They've
switch.
even now, when a pamphlet gets shot down in a particular committee, they'll move it to another committee.
Yeah,
So like
I know.
the yeah.
EDW. Blame it on EDW. How about
Yes.
conference every 2 years instead of every year? I just threw that grenade out there too.
You're
Think about
speaking
it.
our language, D. We're
Yeah.
with you.
Yeah. All right, you guys go. Oh, thanks a
Right.
lot for
Hey,
having me. It was fun. Good to meet
thanks
you both.
again, and
Thank you
good
so
meeting
much.
you.
You're
And
welcome, sweetheart.
yep, if you're out there dealing with adversity, try the 12 steps in God and be free.
Freedom.
Absolutely. Freedom. Woo-hoo.
Thanks for listening. If you have a comment, suggestion, or just need help, you can email Shank and Wayne at freedom@alcoholicsalive.com. Remember, we're recovered members of Alcoholics Anonymous, but we do not speak for Alcoholics Anonymous, nor do we get paid. Join us next week for another great episode.